My background is quite varied. I was originally a teacher, a high school teacher, and I did that for a couple of years coming out of my undergrad. I then went and took my MBA. What that did is it really expanded, my opportunities. I was originally intending to go back into the school system as a principal or into the college system as an administrator. And what it actually ended up doing was it took me into on a path that I wasn't expecting in an area called technology transfer. So I worked at the University of Alberta's Tech Transfer Office for a short period of time, where I was able to look at ag and engineering opportunities, research opportunities, and help explore the commercial opportunities and the potential behind those inventions. And I was able to work with some really great leaders in the tech transfer space, including folks like Jim Murray, who's considered one of the fathers of tech transfer in Canada. Once I completed my MBA and I was recruited actually from the U of A over to Canadian Airlines, where I actually worked in management for a short period of time, so it was a completely different area, but it was in the program development side of things. After Canadian Airlines went down the tubes and was merged into Air Canada, I was actually recruited back by Jim Murray to an organization called Westlink Innovation Network, and working with Derek Gratz. It's a company that essentially assisted and networked the tech transfer offices across Western Canada. So it gave me the opportunity to work with colleges, technical institutes, and universities and other research organizations in facilitating their tech commercialization activities. In the early 2000s, a lot of the smaller, medium-sized institutions didn't have a lot of tech transfer capacity. So I was brought in many cases to help facilitate the introduction of tech transfer to the research community and build up some of that capacity while they were staffing up. So that gave me a really good opportunity to learn about tech transfer across the spectrum, from small institutions to large institutions, colleges, universities across Western Canada. So it was a good opportunity, and I worked with Westlink for about 7 years and finished there as the Vice President of Business Development. From there, I actually went to a company called AVAC, which is an early stage investment company, and made investment recommendations in the agriculture sectors, making investments in small companies, some small investments, some quite large investments. And again, we say agriculture, but that is a very broad spectrum. It includes things that are close to the farm gate, as well as opportunities that were much closer to what we look at within the research environment, including biotechnology related opportunities. So that gave me again a broad spectrum of experience relating to early stage opportunities. I got to see some interesting companies. I got to understand the needs of companies and some of the pitfalls and landmines that those companies could hit along the innovation pathway. It gave me some interesting perspective into what I'm doing now. So I was with AVAC for 2 years, and I was recruited to NATE as their director in September of 2008.
Well, what got you interested in NATE? Why are you here?
What got me interested in NATE is, I would say, the way in which they designed the department or the center. I had interacted with different tech transfer offices or commercialization offices, applied research offices, or they're called different things. I got a sense for what works, what doesn't. One of the things that is clear is you can't do it, in a sort of a half-baked way. You gotta have significant resources devoted, and you have to have buy-in within the institution. It was clear when I started discussing the opportunity with NATE that they had done, that a lot of the missionary work had already been done, that it was clear that NATE had an applied research mandate. It was clear that they had a mandate towards supporting innovation, supporting commercialization. And so that definitely attracted me to the position. And I mean, as I went through the process and had further discussions with the leadership within Nate, it was clear that they had positioned the center in the right way, and I was very interested in being part of that.
You're here now, and the center has a new name. It's called Novanate. But when I was here 2 years ago and interviewed Peggy McTavish, this whole sort of research and innovation theme was carried under the Office of Applied Research. What has happened? What has been the change?
I wouldn't view it as necessarily a change. I'd view it as an enhancement. You know, the department that was previously Novanate was really here to support applied research, enterprise development, and commercialization. Novanate is here to support those activities as well. But what we've done is we've really enhanced all three of those activities. In terms of the applied research side, again, you know, there is a mandate from the Nate's leadership to do applied research. So that's driven down through the schools. Everyone understands that research is, you know, something that we want to embrace and we want to support. So our office is going to help support that. We're going to help support it through facilitating funding for faculty members who want to get release time to do research. We're going to support it through bringing on industrial sponsored research chairs, or what we call applied research chairs. You know, so there's going to be a concerted effort to enable research to occur within Nate, but that's different than the research that occurs within a university environment. It's applied research, so it's industry driven, industry focused, looking at the needs of industry and trying to find solutions for those needs and issues. In terms of enterprise development, the Duncan McNeil Center has existed for a number of years, and there's been a lot of success. We have pretty well a full incubator. The Duncan McNeil Center is an incubator to support companies to become sustainable. What I hope to do, and the intention going forward now, is to really build upon the success of the past around enterprise development, in that we want to see companies not only build strength from a technical perspective, but also build strength in terms of their business fundamentals. So that's something that we intend to really implement relative to the companies that come into the Duncan McNeil Center. We want to see these companies in 2 to 3 years graduate on a strong footing, so that they've advanced their company from a technical perspective, but also really advanced their companies in terms of the business fundamentals. So they have marketing plans, they have proper financial plans so that they can get funding, they have proper management teams so that they can attract, again, funding, because that's a key piece for that. In terms of the tech transfer, that cuts across that's kind of the third pillar of Novanate, the tech commercialization part, and that is an aspect where, again, we want to assist not only our companies but individuals internal to Nate to think about their ideas in terms of, you know, what makes them commercially viable. You know, do they have, you know, a market? Is there interest out there for their product? You know, do they have a protectable product? Those are the sorts of things that we want to ask those questions early, and we want to ensure that we are continually addressing those questions as we go along.
Novanate, now that's a very interesting name. Where does that come from?
So Novanate, it's a short form for innovation, and it's a model that was developed and by the leadership of Nate before I arrived. It's essentially a kind of a neat tagline in a sense, but it really just drives to the point that what we're talking about here is innovation. Innovation, whether it is from companies that engage us through our incubator, the Duncan McNeil Center for Innovation, or whether it's innovation in terms of faculty members coming up with neat solutions to problems, or whether it's innovation in terms of our Shell Manufacturing Center, you know, helping companies find solutions to issues and work through the efficiency issues in terms of their process processes, manufacturing processes. So really the idea is, you know, innovation, you know, cuts across all of our activities, and that's kind of the commonality that that I guess spans the activity of our department.
I understand it has some Irish roots.
Yeah, and there's a model, you know, in Ireland, and that's kind of where this was derived. But really, I mean, from day one, it's understood that NAIT's a unique environment. The technical institution or the college environment is unique. So while there's some interesting models out there, and this is, you know, kind of taken from one model, we're trying to make it our own. We're trying to understand our environment in terms of what we're good at, where our strengths are, and also within that, we also understand that you know there's some strategic partners out there that we need to tie in with, and so we're keen on engaging, you know, the other tech transfer offices that exist within the region and in the province, and other incubation facilities to ensure that we're servicing, you know, our stakeholders well.
I understand that you also have a relationship with NSERC?
So we're NSERC eligible, which is a big step. What that does is that gives us the ability to generate NSERC funding for different projects, and we're actually now in the process of completing an application for NSERC funding for December. You know, learning again on our experiences of the past, like most colleges and technical institutes that are new to NSERC, their NSERC eligibility, we didn't succeed the first time in our grant application, but we've been getting some really good feedback, and we expect that we'll have success in getting some significant grant funding from not only NSERC, but the other granting agencies, including SHRC, as well as CIHR. Those are the three kind of core federal granting agencies for research. So there's a recognition, just to follow on that, there's a recognition with the granting agencies that colleges and technical institutes do research, applied research. So that's very gratifying. And NAIT was one of the early colleges/technical institutions to generate eligibility for those grants. So it's a good thing that we're viewed as a leader in that, and we definitely look forward to taking advantage of that through generating grant funding on a project-by-project basis.
How successful has this applied research program been up to this time? Tell me some stories about some of the projects you've worked with.
Well, we have some interesting examples. I mean, I'd say that, you know, for the most part, you know, the majority of our examples have been relating to the companies that we've engaged. So we have a number of companies that we've engaged within the Duncan McNeil Center, as well as within our prototype development program. So our prototype development program is one of our flagship programs that was developed over the last 3 years. And what it does is it provides companies the opportunity to come in and work, build up their projects to a point where they're able to take something to the next, I guess, stage, whether it be a physical prototype or whether it be a, you know, mock-up drawings or whatnot. And what that does is it enables them to either take it to a strategic partner for funding or generate, you know, additional support or partnerships. So that's one of our core projects, and we've done a few interesting projects on that.
So, give me some specific examples.
So, one good example is a company called InnovEquity that we have engaged, and actually they're a DMCI client as well. So they're part of our incubator. They've been with us since 2007. They brought to us an idea around essentially automated construction. The concept that, you know, stick building homes is an inefficient way of building structures, homes or apartment buildings or whatnot. So they've actually designed a really interesting machine to produce panels, wall panels, roof panels, floor plant panels, that are finished in terms of they have the insulation, they have the wiring, and they have the ductwork. They have that all complete. And it's all done automated, so that it doesn't require any hands outside of just installing the equipment and the pieces, the components within the machine. The machine essentially spits out these panels, and they're significant panels in terms of length and width. So the concept there is that they'll be able to produce very fast, very efficiently, and very high quality structures that will really take the, I guess, the construction industry into the next level. They've received a significant amount of interest from investors, granting agencies, and building companies in the Edmonton area. So that's exciting. And our role was in developing the drawings and the and kind of the first scale prototype of the machine. So it's a rapid prototype of the machine. We partnered with the Shell Manufacturing Center to produce this. But what it did is it gave people a visual of what we're talking about when we're talking about the this automated construction machine. It gave them a visual, and it enabled this company to attract over $500,000 of grant funding, and they're now in the process of shoring up another $1.5 million of grant and investment funding as a result of that. So we had a significant role to play in helping this company get to that level, which is quite gratifying. But also, we're proud of the fact that we were able to attract such a promising company, two young inventors and entrepreneurs that have essentially mortgaged their home, so to speak, to get this company to where it is today, and they're close to getting the financing necessary to do the first working prototype. So we hope to be a participant in that as well, and that's definitely an example of one of our success stories.
Any more?
Oh boy, that's yeah. So another good example of a company that we engaged is a company called Delta Balance, and we're right now actually just bringing them into the Duncan McNeil Center as an incubator company. But this is an individual who essentially suffered severe back issues, and he developed a device that people could stand on and position themselves on in an office environment to help them essentially not only relieve pain from their back injuries and neck injuries, but actually it would actually have a therapeutic effect. So Nate's played a significant role in helping develop some of these products. And now what we're hoping to do over the next year is help him kind of reach the market. He's done, a significant amount of R&D, and he really needs to, at this point, get to the marketplace. And so that's where Nate wants to help him. And that's kind of a new role for Nate and for our office, is not only looking at how to advance this company technically, but also to help him advance in terms of accessing the market and developing his strategy around that. So that's kind of the next step.
Well, I'm familiar with Delta Balance, mm-hmm. and the fellow you're speaking of, and he's been working at this for a very long time, like many, many years. And that's one of the things, is that, boy, you sure have to have the gumption or the strength to stick with these ideas. What do you see for, inventors who really, this is what they're facing, is you've got a good idea, you work at it, you put your own money into it, and really getting to the point where you can actually get something through the patenting processes onto the market. What do you see from your end?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, and it's about partnerships. It's about generating the right partnerships at the right time. But when someone comes up with a kernel of an idea, with a concept, it's a long road, generally speaking, to full commercial success. And most entrepreneurs don't realize that going in. I think if they did, we would have a lot fewer entrepreneurs. But it's just part of the process. And they'll tell you often that, man, it's been a long road, but it's been a very short road, because the entrepreneurs are they're generally the kind of personality that they want to be their own boss, right? They often have a lot of kind of internal, resiliency. And so while it is a long road, there's successes along the way. And InnovEquity is a good example. I mean, they've achieved, some significant milestones along the way that kind of keeps them motivated to go to the next level. So while the ultimate goal is, full commercialization, they've achieved, significant funding. They've achieved, significant partnerships. They've achieved, visual prototypes of their device, which is very rewarding considering it started as an idea in their head. So while it is a long road, they have to always keep in mind the short-term successes and victories that they achieve. But you know, it is about the right partnerships and making sure that you're not only advancing your product and your business technically, but that you're thinking about all of the aspects associated with having success, and that not only includes technical advancement, but it includes advancing the business fundamentals. It includes making sure that you have the right management at the right times, making sure you understand what it's going to take in terms of dollars to get to the next level. Those are all the pieces that are important. And many times the entrepreneur doesn't have the background or the experience to understand that, but it's about surrounding yourself with the right people so that they can give you the right advice at the right time.
Can you give me an example of what inventors or early stage companies do wrong and where you could come in and help them make the right decision?
I would suggest that companies and inventors often have strengths, and those strengths are obviously really important, but they often can be a drawback for the company as well, because it's human nature, right? We gravitate to our strengths and what we're good at. What we're not good at, we have a hard time, I guess, concentrating on. And so in many cases with inventors and early stage companies, they're strong technically. They have strong technical strengths. So they concentrate on that, and so they'll build their product, and they'll design it, and they'll just keep on designing it and making incremental improvements. And often those improvements are based on ad hoc feedback. They're not necessarily based on what the market it really wants, because they haven't necessarily done their market research, or they have limited dollars, and they should actually be spending those dollars on other things like developing business plans, developing marketing plans, and going after financing. And what happens is they often run out of money, and because they haven't developed enough value in their company or in their idea in terms of the comprehensive value necessary, they're done because they haven't developed that value. There's not going to be any interest, because it's a one-dimensional opportunity. The other dimensions of that opportunity haven't been properly addressed. So that's one of the key mistakes that we often see. When I was on the financing side, that was often an issue. But we were an early stage financer, so we often could catch these companies early and say, hey, listen, you need to address your management gap, or you need to address your business fundamentals gap. So we could come in with funding to assist with the buildup of that part of their business. And that's why I was saying it's really important for companies to surround themselves and access the right people and the right money at the right times, so that they can get down that road and have success ultimately.
Can you have too many products?
Absolutely, you can. It takes your focus away, right? When you have three or four products, you're not focused on, or your focus is being dispersed in way too many ways, and you often have limited resources. And so, again, where you should be spending your money, on developing your business plan and finding partners and perhaps going after, the marketplace, you're spending your money on product number three or developing product number four because it needs this, element built in or whatnot. So absolutely, you can develop too many products, and I'd suggest that in most cases you should be concentrating on one or two products the most. There's nothing wrong with having other products or other ideas in the wings. It's important to have a strong strong pipeline, and that's often the reason why these companies succeed, is because their platform technologies are based on platform technology. So they'll logically spin out other products, but that doesn't mean that you should be concentrating on all those products at once. You do that, and that's often going to be a real detrimental effect on the company.
You're doing these sorts of things at NAID, but when you look at the bigger picture, these types of activities are going on all across the province, all across the country, mm-hmm. To help inventors and early stage companies really succeed. So where does NATE fit into this bigger picture?
Well, we have a role to play relative to, our strengths. Our strengths are applied research and an understanding for industry's needs. So in terms of companies engaging NATE, they engage us because they understand that we have an appreciation for solving problems, solving real world problems. Other institutions don't necessarily have that focus, and that's neither good nor bad, right? That's just their focus. Some institutions are focused on basic curiosity driven research. We're not. So that's a real plus for companies that need real world solutions. They can come to us and expect real world solutions to their problems. In terms of companies engaging us for our incubation services through the Duncan McNeil Center, they often utilize and become tenants of ours because they can access our students, they can access our equipment, our facilities, and that proximity to those value-added components are extremely beneficial to our DMCI clients. And we just actually finished graduating our first DMCI client, and that was really, really rewarding. And
who is that?
The company is called EMS Edutainment, and they're essentially a game board concept that was designed for the training of emergency medical personnel. And this would be an example of a copyright based invention, not a patent. It's not patentable, but there's a lot of copyright and trademark around it. And she's this individual, Joe DeWitt is her name. She's done a really good job of building up these game boards and presenting them to training agencies throughout Canada and the U.S. To become a learning tool and a training tool for EMS, emergency medical personnel. So it's a really interesting product. And she's actually just left DMCI, she's on strong footing. She's got there's more sales right now than she can fill. So that's one of the challenges that she has, is making sure that she can actually meet the demand that's been created for a product.
Well, you have a new patent coming out too.
That's right. Yeah, we actually do have a patent, and it's in the area of chromatography with one of our researchers, Dr. Ron Curry. So that's really exciting as well.
You are going to be bringing on some research associates, I understand.
That's right. We're looking to bring on industry-sponsored research chairs. So these are going to be applied research chairs that will focus on specific sectors. The idea is that we have industry sponsors out there, understanding that there's some specific areas of research that they would like addressed. They've approached NATE to help them do that. And so we will be facilitating that research through bringing on world-class researchers. Well, actually, that research will be carried on in our St. Albert campus. We're just in the process of renovating our St. Albert campus, so Novanate will have a location there as well. And those researchers will have their own lab to carry out their research, and so that's really exciting as well.
Is your work just focused on Edmonton, or do you have partnerships with outlying areas?
One of the things that we're involved with is we have some significant research going on up north right now through the Boreal Forest Research Institute. We're the institutional partner with that center. They're based out of Peace River. And Hugh Seaton is the lead up there. So they fall under the Novanate mandate as well, and we're actually supporting them right now in the build-out of the Boreal Reclamation Center. And they've actually just able to attract some significant funding from the provincial government and are shoring up some additional funds to launch that center. But what it'll do is it'll enable the center to actually concentrate some of its efforts on research around reclaiming sites, so logging landing sites like for oil and gas and for logging. One of the issues is traditionally has been that companies that are doing the work in the oil and gas sector, when they do leave a site, they had to just leave it as green. So they'd plant often crested wheatgrass or other things, non-native species. The provincial government now has requirements for them to revegetate with natural and even sometimes two forms of natural vegetation. So this is a real challenge for oil and gas and forestry sectors. So this center, this research center, will help research in this area so that they can develop not only new ways or the optimal species to revegetate, but also practices for revegetation so that we're not disturbing the land more than we have to, and we're getting significant uptake of the vegetation when it is planted onto these sites. So that's really exciting, and a lot of that work is going to take place in Fairview, actually, which is really exciting. So that's an example of the kind of research and applied research that Novonate is supporting, and we want to do more of that kind of thing. We want to enhance research capacity around other areas of research as well, including areas like green chemistry. We're in the process right now of developing a strategic partnership with a local company around continuous processing, and so we're really excited about that and hope that we can, what we're doing with the Boreal Center and the Boreal Reclamation Center, we're hoping to do that with this company and other companies in the future.
And does that involve your students as well? Like, for example, your forestry students?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of interest on the reclamation side. There's a lot of interest with our faculties in the forestry side to engage not only as faculty members in this work, but also engage our students in this work. So absolutely, there's a key aspect of this research, as well as any research that we do at NAID, is to ensure that our students are properly engaged.
Well, you're just getting your chair warmed up here, and it's coming on with Novonate. What are your goals?
Boy, my goal is to, build upon what's already, been accomplished here at NAIT, and really to add value to NAIT and its core areas, of strength. Its core areas of strength is around applied research. Its core area of strength is already, built up in the incubation of early stage companies through the DMCI. I'd say one of my immediate goals is to really enhance kind of the business perspective relative to companies in the DMCI, as well as opportunities that are presented to us through our prototype development program, as well as internally. Faculty members have ideas that they want to develop, and yes, we have the capacity to develop them, and help them build, value in terms of the technical side into their ideas. But we want to do more than that. We want to build value in terms of offering business advice, offering commercial assessment, offering patent assessment advice. That's the kind of value that that our companies need, that our faculty and staff need. And so that's one of my goals, is to really enhance that part of our activity.
You have a conference coming up.
Yeah, one of the things that we're really excited about is NAIT will be hosting next year the CABBIE 2009 conference. And CABBIE stands for the Canadian Association of Business Incubation. One of my team members, Canwell Dhaliwal, helped us along with some of our partners at the city and local economic development groups, helped us attract this conference to Edmonton. So we'll be attracting around between 150 to 200 people from across Canada who are doing business incubation, and the conference is going to be held in probably one of the city center hotels, and it'll be a really good opportunity for Edmonton to showcase what it has to offer in terms of innovation and tech commercialization, but it also give Novonate an opportunity to showcase what we're trying to do within this community.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
Thank you very much. Glad to have you.